It's Friday on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. Apparently I say that every week, so I'm just going to keep doing it because it bothers Mike McClure so much. Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Heath, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Everything is awesome. Many people have reached out to me today to tell me how awesome things are today.
Can we get a hashtag make Heath dunk again update?
Leg soreness has decreased significantly.
Okay.
Going tonight for some rim touches.
Okay.
And hoping to get my pinky finger to the rim for the first time.
All right. You're sore. That's unfortunate.
My soreness has decreased.
Okay.
I've tried to talk about my soreness a lot to you because I feel like you should get something for your $100, and knowing that I'm in pain will make you feel happier.
Well, I'm getting $100 out of the bet, so I don't really need the updates, but I appreciate it.
I have been looking for some new shoes.
Okay.
I'm going to buy some new shoes with my credit card and then pay the shoes off once you pay me the money.
Or you're going to find a 6-month financing program for
0% interest
for your $72 old man running shoes, your Asics.
I have a total
your New Balances.
I have a total $150 on the line.
Get the
I'm getting shoes that are $149.
Get the Matt Bonner New Balance.
He
can dunk, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I found a pair of shoes that are like off-brand that claim to raise your vertical by 3.5 inches. So okay. I'm considering those because then I don't have to gain an inch.
God, you're going to get hurt. I'm going to feel so bad when you rupture an Achilles. It's going to be a real...
I've been doing a lot of calf raises on the stairs to try to prevent that. Strengthen my Achilles.
Good.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about DFS?
I mean, whatever.
We finally have a slate that we're actually excited about playing, right? After Wednesdays, which Heath called the worst slate ever.
Thursdays, which was worse.
Only to realize that Thursdays was way worse. And, I mean, Matt Whistler was good. He was the best pitcher of the night, right?
No, Lance McCullers.
He only went 5 innings.
With, I think, 11 strikeouts
and
a win.
10 strikeouts and a win. You don't lose points for walks.
I actually wrote in my article yesterday that Lance McCullers was my top pitcher. Yeah. We should have done a podcast. I would have been right about something.
Finally.
Finally.
Let's talk about the big news.
Ooh,
a $6,900 pitcher is going to be one of the most highly owned pitchers of the night, right?
See, I don't know. I mean, that's a really nice price.
Julio Urias.
But I don't know there are so many good pitching options tonight. And the fact that there's a game at Coors...
Yeah,
does make Urias much more interesting.
Yep.
Do we know if he's on any sort of a pitch limit? He's on innings limit.
He hasn't thrown more than 82 pitches in a start this season. But you know that was in AAA. They didn't want to waste bullets in AAA, so it's possible he'll. I would guess he won't throw 100 pitches.
Yeah. So I don't even know that he's going to be eligible for a win. I'm projecting him between 4 to 5, maybe 5 innings.
Ye of little faith.
I do.
The most exciting young pitcher of the last decade makes his debut, and you're poo-pooing it.
I will watch every pitch with excitement, but it doesn't mean he will be in my daily fantasy lineups.
First teenage pitcher to start a game in baseball since 2005, since Felix Hernandez. You know that guy, Felix Hernandez. He was pretty good. 2.83 ERA as a rookie. Julio Urias has that kind of talent. Super talented kid, and... it's not a terrible matchup for him going against the Mets. I know the Mets have been decent against lefties this season, but I still don't buy that.
I'm going to have at least one Urias lineup.
You have to.
But I'm not. You don't have to.
You have to.
No. Fading Julio Urias is not the worst option in the world.
You have to have a Urias lineup.
But I will have one Urias lineup.
I guess I'm going to be the only one with a Urias lineup on today's show.
No.
You get in the way of everything. All right, so if you're not playing, what are your expectations for Julio Urias?
Mike just said he's going to go 4 innings.
This is
4 2/3.
Well, let's give the scouting report.
You go ahead.
6'2" left-hander, signed out of Mexico. Actually, interestingly, signed on the same trip where the Dodgers signed Yasiel Puig, one of four pitchers or players that the Dodgers signed at that time. They signed the four of them for a collective $1.8 million. Seems like a steal with Julio Urias pretty much immediately establishing himself as the top left-handed pitching prospect.
See, that worries
baseball.
Me. Is Urias now going to be as overrated as Puig was?
has stormed through the minors, has been just absolutely dominant. He has a 1.10 ERA at AAA. Oklahoma City, I believe, is their affiliate. That's in the Pacific Coast League. It's the toughest pitching environment in baseball, in professional baseball. And he is 8 years younger than the average AAA player. He is a baby. He throws a 90 to 95 mile per hour fastball with great movement, terrific command. Breaking ball and changeup are both considered plus pitches. He really does have the potential to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, this season he's going to shuttle between the bullpen and the starting rotation, so not going to have all that many chances to use Julio Urias. I'm going to do it tonight. If you're not using Julio Urias, you're a fool.
I am
but
a
who
fool.
Will you be using? Mike, who's your top pitcher of the night?
Actually,
give me your top three.
My top three?
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll give you three of them. So, Felix Hernandez. I think everybody's going to like Felix Hernandez tonight.
11,000 Felix going against Minnesota. Minnesota, really bad.
They are bad. The one guy I like a little more on DraftKings than FanDuel, though, Chris Archer. I do like Chris. I'm going back to Chris Archer tonight. That's more for DraftKings than FanDuel, though.
Chris Archer, $9,400 on FanDuel. He is 79 on DraftKings. Huge strikeout potential, striking out a bunch of batters this season, even with his 5.16 ERA. But
Yankees aren't very good. They're on the road. Pretty poor ballpark to hit in at Tampa.
He had a gentleman's three fantasy points in his most recent start.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have Felix, Archer, and who?
Michael Fulmer.
Detroit starting pitcher going against a pretty mediocre Oakland offense. Heath, you got the giggles over there. You okay?
I do. It's okay.
What's that?
Nothing.
$7,400 on FanDuel, $7,300 on DraftKings, so not really a huge difference there. Heath, why don't you put a cork in it and give us your top three starting
pitchers.
You
don't want me to put a cork in it, right?
No,
I want you to talk now.
Yeah.
Okay, because I had a cork in it before. I was trying to hold the giggles in.
Put a cork in the giggle box.
I'm going to take the giggles. Stop the giggles. Felix is number one for me.
Okay.
I think he's the chalk. I'm not as excited about him.
Are we 100% sure that Felix is still good?
Yes.
Okay.
He has been dominant at home in four starts this year. He's not Felix Hernandez anymore.
Yep.
I do not think that we're going to get a vintage Felix performance, except that we might, because he's been so good at home, because the Twins are so bad against right-handed pitchers. They rank 24th in WOBA, 23rd in strikeout rate against right-handed pitchers. I would expect my expectations for Felix tonight are 7+ innings, 2 or fewer runs with 6 to 9 strikeouts.
He has gone seven innings or more in each of his four home starts. Has 10 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts, and then two starts with 4 strikeouts each.
Now, number two for me, pretty far and away, and the guy that I'm probably may even play a little more of in Felix, just because of Coors Field, is Adam Conley.
Adam Conley going against the Braves. He's been up and down this season.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say. He looks really good when he looks good, but the control was really bad last time out.
Okay, here's the thing with Adam Conley. He has really sucked against the Nationals and against the Giants. He had a fantastic start at Milwaukee and a not-so-good one against the Brewers at home.
I mean, what I would say, he has 8 starts. Like, the first start, he pitched an inning. It was a bad inning. It was his first start of the season, but it was also raining while he was pitching. So I think he has 8 starts.
But mostly when he's faced bad offenses, he's been very good. The Braves are the worst ever. They're so bad. There's so many different ways you could use to describe the badness of the Braves, but I think we can just from this point forward say it's the Braves, and everybody knows that they're
at home, which is usually a good thing. The Braves have 2 wins at home this season.
Every team that has played in Atlanta has at least 2 wins there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They are tied for last in wins in their own
park. Every other team in baseball has at least 7 home wins.
Now, this I thought was an interesting question. 1 month from just slightly less than a month from now, the Mets go there for 4 games.
Okay.
The Mets currently have 3 wins at Turner Field. The Braves have 2.
Mm-hmm.
When that series ends, who will have more wins in Atlanta?
So it's a little less than a month from now?
A little less than a month.
I need to see the Atlanta schedule.
So I would guess, I mean, you would assume that the Braves have roughly 15 games left at home in that time. I mean, that would be the assumption. Like,
yeah.
13 to 17, something like that.
I mean, the Rockies have only played 6 games at home this month.
A smart person told you that stat.
They play the Marlins over the weekend. They'll win at least one of those, probably 2.
Yep.
Then they have 4 against the Giants.
Jerk.
4 against the Giants. I don't see them beating the Giants.
No.
Then I think they play the Reds at home, maybe, which might be another win. I mean, I think they're probably going to have 5 or 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So, which would mean they like a 1 might be a push. If they go 1-3 against the Mets in that series, and 0-4, the Mets will be ahead of them again. Anyway, this is not. I put Julio Urias as the 3rd pitcher in the article today.
Okay, mostly because you wanted to write about
it. Actually, mostly because I wanted to link your article to him.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks.
So, but he would not be like my 3rd favorite pitcher. I'm really struggling with.
He's 3. A tournament only play.
Right between Chris Archer, who Mike already talked about, and the other side of that game.
Yep.
Masahiro Tanaka going up against the Jays, who are Rays. But they hasn't been much difference offensively this year. Mm-hmm. The Rays might
be better.
Yeah, I think they are. Except for the fact that they strike out a ton.
Yeah.
Against right-handed pitching, especially. I think Tanaka's got a good strikeout potential. The only problem with playing Tanaka or Archer is the win potential significantly lower for both of them. And I mean, we have to at least mention that Max Scherzer's pitching tonight.
Yes.
But I'm not going to use them against the Cardinals.
Cardinals have been the best, I think they're the 2nd or 3rd best offense in baseball against righties right now.
All
right,
I don't think you can play Cole Hamels. There's no way, as much as Chris loves Aaron Sanchez, that he's playing him against the Red Sox.
Nope. Although, we didn't, actually, the best pitcher yesterday, I don't know if he was on the night slate, but John Gray was great against the Red Sox yesterday.
Yep, just not quite as good as Lance McCullers, but he was very good.
Well, he was better than Lance McCullers, just not for fantasy.
Well, that's really all we care about.
That's all we care about on this show.
Fine. What about your favorite $8,000 or under pitcher? Any besides Julio Urias and Michael Fulmer, I guess. Anybody else in that range that you would consider playing tonight?
No, there's not. I'm going to avoid all of those guys. Robbie Ray would be the one.
Robbie Ray, yep, that's the one.
Robbie Ray, kind of a hit or miss pitcher that which is a weird thing to say about a pitcher. But has been a lot more missed this season than not in the.
He'd be better if he created more misses.
Yeah, he's been more missed than hit in terms of his success rate,
but more per hit start than in terms of his.
But batters have hit him more than they have missed.
But Padres miss more than they hit.
Yes. Oh, my head hurts. What's your favorite stack of the night, Heath?
Are we going to just do our one player from Coors, or are we going to actually use Coors as a stack? I think we probably should just do our one player, or we're just going to like the Rockies.
Pick your one player. Rockies going against Matt Cain at home.
My one player would be your dong from last night, Carlos Gonzalez. He's still just $3,500.
Yeah.
They kind of screwed up, I think, on that one. He should probably be $4,000 going against Matt Cain. Cain has been a little better this year, but he's been awful against lefties this year. And I believe we actually have already had one instance of Matt Cain being good at Coors Field this year, but it's not going to happen twice in the same season.
No chance.
Yeah. Carlos Gonzalez has not had a good month of May. I think he has like a 650 OPS in the month of May. However, like he said, they've played 23 games in the month of May. 6 of them have come at home. Now, Carlos Gonzalez is a good hitter everywhere, but he's a really, really good hitter at Coors Field. He has major home road splits, so you know that's he'll be fine getting back to Coors Field, I think. Mike?
Gerardo Parra, if I can't take cargo.
Gerardo Parra, apropos of nothing, I'm not poo-pooing your pick. Just want to point out, he has 1 unintentional walk this season.
And he has some great BVP against Matt Cain, and you know I love my BVP.
I just wanted to throw that out there because I found that out this morning, and that is just...
Yeah.
He has been intentionally walked once, and he has 2 walks overall. That's amazing.
Wow. So I just think his price is reasonable. It's pretty reasonable for Coors Field.
I feel like Buster Posey at $4,000 is a really nice price with the course field shift.
Interesting you bring him up.
Well,
I had a Tyler Chetwood number. I think people are going to kind of sleep a little bit on the Giants because Chetwood's been so good away from Coors.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been good at home. He's not going to be good at home. But
pitches to contact.
But I do think people will focus more on the left-handed Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Chetwood's been a reverse splits pitcher over his entire career. It's been even more so this year. And he's faced 53 right-handed hitters at Coors Field, and five of them have hit dongs.
Yeah, let me know if you think this makes sense. This is just spitballing a theory.
I don't think so.
Nature of baseball.
Probably not.
I feel like pitchers who pitch to contact tend to have reverse splits more often than strikeout pitchers.
Well, I think that makes sense.
Why? Let's see if we're on the same wavelength.
Because strikeout pitchers, generally speaking, have good breaking stuff.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. You look at the guys who have big strikeouts. You're Chris Archer. Take Chris Archer, for example. Best pitch by far is a slider. His changeup is just kind of average. No, it's still his best pitch. All his pitches are bad now, but the slider's still better. That might be one explanation.
I believe it because I watched Eric Hosmer hit a home run off Chris Sale. Left versus left.
There you go.
Chris Sale's pitching to contact.
There you go. All right, what's your favorite stack outside of Coors?
I'm not going to go with the one I listed first in the article. We'll see if either one of you mention it. I'm going to go slightly more obvious and go with the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
Paul Goldschmidt should be one of the most popular plays of the day, down to $4,000 going up against Christian Friedrich.
Who has only allowed three runs, I believe, on the season.
Yeah, I think he's also allowed a 390 wOBA to right-handed hitters over his career.
He has 9 walks and 6 strikeouts in 9-plus innings.
But it's not just limited to Goldschmidt. Wellington Castillo is a good play. Nick Ahmed, if you need to punt at shortstop, is not a bad option. And then the guy that I think everybody's sleeping on just a little bit is Yasmani Tomas. He was a guy that came into the year needed to prove something. Alan Scott did not like Tomas very much because he was such a singles hitter.
Al Elkior and Scott White.
As a rookie. Our
fantasy baseball.
Everybody knows analysts. That. And this year, against left-handed pitchers, Tomas is slashing .386, .460, .750.
He's hitting the ball in the air more often this season, I believe.
And harder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both good things. And I sold Friedrich short just a little bit. He's only given up a .387 wOBA to righties in 176 innings.
Mike, who's your favorite stack?
It definitely was Arizona.
Okay.
So I'm going to give one that's a little more under the radar, I guess. That would be the Cleveland Indians. I like the Indians quite
a bit. They've been quite good.
I shouldn't say under the radar. I think just a little lower owned because of the number of high power offenses in play tonight.
Okay. They're going against Mike Wright at home, which Cleveland's a pretty good place to hit, right?
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's pretty neutral, really.
I guess if we're going, Chaminade has still been mostly a disaster. He's going up against the Tigers.
Chaminade is not bad. He's not a bad pitcher.
He's been one.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, his last two starts have been pretty bad. Like, well, the most recent start, he went 6 2/3 innings, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, he only gave up 8 runners in 6 2/3 innings.
How many runs? 4?
I don't think so. His ERA went down.
Well, his ERA was 7.91 coming into this start. He's had one good start.
He's young.
Yes, I agree.
No, that's not like there's other stacks that I like a lot better than that, but I would pick on another former Royals prospect, John Lamb, probably first with the Brewers at home. The one you guys didn't mention, and I think this is kind of sneaky, is the Royals.
Royals going against Miguel Gonzalez.
Miguel Gonzalez is not young. He's just bad.
Yep.
And I like the fact that the Royals don't have Kendrys Morales, Alex Gordon, Mike Moustakas makes their lineup look laughably bad. And I think it will be laughably bad for probably the next month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think Miguel Gonzalez is the kind of pitcher that can still get lit up by this type of lineup. I really like Hosmer and Perez in the middle of the order. And then the key to victory tonight might be Chesler Cuthbert.
It is
$2,100 going against Miguel Gonzalez.
I get criticized for liking Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
Who is one of the seven best hitters in baseball.
Not right now. Chesler's better than Giancarlo right
he's
now.
He's definitely one of
and
the seven best home run derby players.
And I have to listen to you with a straight face. I mean, not with, really with a straight face, with a blank eating grin.
Okay.
Tell me that someone named Chesler is the key to victory tonight.
Here's the thing. 2,100.
Tell me the thing.
2,100 going up against Miguel Gonzalez. I think that's going to help you put a lot of good hitters in your lineup. And I would guess Chesler's going to get on base tonight.
Just spend $200 more and get Franklin Gutierrez going against someone named Pat Dean.
Different positions.
Does he play third base?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it does. Because when you built your lineup, what did you say? My outfield is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I have at least two different outfielders, maybe three different outfielders, and my outfield is stacked. Mike, I'm guessing you have good outfielders in your... Like, the expensive plays in outfield are outstanding tonight.
Yes.
I can't afford to play a $2,000 outfielder.
My cheapest outfielder is $3,400.
So is mine.
It's probably the same guy.
Is the Royals lineup better or worse than it was on May 21st?
On May 21st, I would guess it's worse.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably pretty similar, actually.
Miguel Gonzalez struck out 8 Royals in six solid innings in that game.
How many runs did you give up?
Just throwing it out there.
What did Chesler do?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, I'm not even sure Chesler was in the lineup that day, and if he wasn't, then it's all a moot point. No, he didn't play that day.
That's why they struck out so many.
Yeah, he was in AAA, I think.
Any other stacks you guys are worth considering?
Toronto Blue Jays.
I'm sorry. That's a fair point.
They're going against Joe Kelly.
Yes, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox. I mean, they're both of them are in play. Yeah, I don't know. I think you could play the Rangers for sure against John Neese, especially right-handed Rangers.
He has one of the highest home run to fly ball ratios in baseball this season, had a really high one last year as well.
There's no doubt you want to have some Derek Dietrich and Justin Bour exposure against Williams Perez.
Bour's a little pricey.
Is he?
He's like 35, I think. It's a little much for Derek.
You're not going to pay $3,500 for Justin Bour or Derek Bour, either one.
One we haven't mentioned that actually I think is a really good stack is Houston. They're starting to figure things out lately. The offense as a whole has been better over the last couple weeks, and they're going against Matt Shoemaker, who gives up a lot of fly balls.
He's got a new pitch, right?
He had 12 strikeouts in his most recent start.
I think it's a new pitch. He's probably going to strike out 12 in every start now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he might strike out 12 against the Astros. They might still score 7 runs against him,
too. That's very possible.
I think my MLB at bat alert yesterday told me that they are the first team in Major League history to strike out 15 times in a game and win 3 straight games or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I don't know. Something
Can't
like that.
I
bet it was something like that.
It sounds true to me.
Yeah.
I bet if I believe hard enough. Heath, do you have a BVP lineup?
I always have a BVP lineup.
Let's
Chris.
Hear the BVP lineup.
You know, the one time you weren't on the show, we didn't have a BVP lineup.
He didn't listen, so he didn't know.
You didn't listen?
No.
Man, I don't know what. Okay, so I thought it'd be kind of fun for the BVP lineup to use a pitcher that's never faced anyone.
That
so
does sound fun.
Julio Urias is going to be the BVP pitcher.
I just want to throw one more fun Julio Urias fact out there.
Good. I was hoping you would.
Last season, he pitched in A-ball, AA, and AAA, and rookie ball.
This sounds super relevant.
It is. He faced well over 300 batters. I think it was like 350.
Right.
He faced two batters who were younger than him all season long last year.
That's two more than he's going to face tonight.
Yes.
Okay.
He is the youngest player in baseball by 470 days.
I am old enough to be his dad. Russell Martin, 5-for-17 with a dong off of Joe Kelly. And actually, if you wanted to play a BVP stack, it would be the Blue Jays against Joe Kelly, which is probably no surprise.
Joe Kelly's not very good.
Edwin Encarnacion against Joe Kelly, 4-for-11 with a dong, 1257 OPS. DJ LeMahieu has had some success in his history against Matt Cain, 8-for-20 with a dong.
Moved back up in the order, I believe.
Who knows how permanent that is. But
in the most recent game.
He was. Josh Donaldson against Joe Kelly, 9-for-17 with a dong.
It's very dismissive.
Yes. Trevor, sometimes, and these next two are an example of this. Sometimes we do BVP because the sample size is so large that we think it could actually mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do BVP because the evidence is just so overwhelming that you can't ignore it.
And this is both?
Trevor Story, 2-for-6 with a dong.
Oof.
And it was a long dong.
They tend to be.
And Ryan Braun has faced John Lamb 8 times.
Okay.
He hit one single. He walked twice. He doubled. And he homered twice. He has a 25.
He has yet to make an out or
no,
one out?
He made 2 outs as well.
Okay.
25.83 OPS against John Lamb.
That would be a record if he did that for a full season.
Yes. On the other side, Jacoby Ellsbury has seen Chris Archer 28 times. He's reached base 20 of those. He has a 714 on base percentage.
How many times has Jacoby Ellsbury faced Chris Archer this season?
Why?
A joke about how bad Chris Archer's been this season.
Oh, yeah, I think he just owns him, including a dong. And then to finish it up, Jason Worth, we were just trying to make the money work.
Gerardo Parra doesn't fit?
No.
Mike teased Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, give us some of that Parra BVP. He had 63 at-bats.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think his OPS or his average are high enough.
I mean, he hits over 300 with 63 at-bats.
Yeah, Chris will look that up. I went with Jason Worth instead, who is 6-for-20 with 2 dongs off of Jaime Garcia. So I apologize to you, Mike, for not putting Gerardo Parra.
It's all right. You'll get him in my actual lineup.
That's good. I don't see him on the list, though.
He has faced Matt Cain more than any other pitcher in baseball.
Okay.
68 times.
68 times.
Pretty good. 317, 828 OPS. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know why that didn't...
I would guess that's pretty close to his career average against right-handed pitchers.
I've got my filter set up for a 400 average or an 850 OPS.
You know who do not play Gerardo Parra against Tim Lincecum? Just throwing that out there. 631 OPS.
We will keep that in mind. I feel like we got a little sidetracked, so I want to give the whole lineup. Urias, Martin, E5, LeMahieu, Donaldson, Story, Ellsbury, Braun, Worth.
Okay.
And no, I didn't have enough money for Parra anyway.
No.
Let's catch some dongs. Heath is going through a too much dunking, not enough dong chasing, Heath.
Yes.
I think that's what's going on. I think you're spending too much time with your family. Not enough time chasing dongs.
Yes.
Mike is on the clock. Got a dong with Bryce Harper yesterday. I got a dong with Carlos Gonzalez, so Heath is alone in, no dong town, population 1.
There are no dongs above the rim.
Mike, let's hear your dong chaser's pick.
All right. A guy that I use frequently, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out for you let's see, the last...
In a while, but yeah.
I don't know if you've ever gotten a dong...
Machado's definitely the guy that rewards me.
Yeah, if we took Machado out, you might not have any dongs, actually. Donald, you've never caught a Dongleson. Dongleson.
I'm catching one tonight. Maybe
all
two.
Right. How much is he?
$3,600.
Dirt cheap, Josh Donaldson. I'm going to go with one that we did not mention the stack because their best hitters are lefties and they're going against lefty. But Nelson Cruz going against Pat Dean. $4,000 for Nelson Cruz. A little pricey, but I can afford it this week because I've got the lowest price.
And I will say I wouldn't avoid the Mariners because their best hitters are lefties. Pat Dean is not good against anybody, and it's probably not going to make it out of the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And the Twins bullpen is worse than Pat Dean.
Nelson Cruz is $4,500, by the way.
Ooh,
wow.
That's expensive.
So I'm up to $3,480.
That's
still
$1,000 more than your boy Giancarlo.
I know.
Change it to Giancarlo.
I'm not going to because he might not play. But if we get that lineup, I might have to change it on Twitter.
I'll go with Goldschmidt, 4,200.
He's 4,000 this.
4,000, even better.
Save you 200.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever caught a Goldschmidt dong, but I don't play him as often as you play Donaldson, I guess.
I'm going to be honest with you here, Chris. As your friend, you should change to Giancarlo Stanton, because if he's not in the lineup, he's the same price as Cargo.
I could afford Cargo no matter what.
Just change to Giancarlo.
Nelson Cruz, $4,500.
I don't want you to have Cruz because he's going to double
pick.
Bond tonight.
And I'm going to give my lineup. And look, when Giancarlo goes deep tonight, I will be rewarded because he is in my lineup.
Of course he is.
I'm going with the Julio Urias. Yeah, a $3,500 Giancarlo Stanton. I'm crazy. $6,900 Julio Urias is my pitcher. Jonathan LaCroix at catcher. Paul Goldschmidt at first base. Derek Dietrich at second. Luis Valbuena, who has donged in three straight games, is at third.
I'll keep that up.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Yes.
He's going against a bad right-handed pitcher.
That is true dong chasing.
Nick Ahmed at shortstop, and my stacked outfield is Mike Trout, Nelson Cruz, and Giancarlo Stanton.
That is a very nice outfield, Chris. I will give an Adam Conley lineup just because we can't have a show without one. And it's a D-backs deck. Adam Conley, Wellington Castillo, Paul Goldschmidt, Gene Segura, Chesler Cuthbert, the key to victory, Zach Cozart, Carlos Gonzalez, Yasmani Tomas, and Ryan Braun.
I'm hoping so badly that Chesler Cuthbert is not in the free. You made the name Chesler Cuthbert up. That is a fictional character from Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I believe
that is a fictional wealthy son of an aristocrat who goes to boarding school.
I believe he was actually signed out of Nicaragua as a 17-year-old, like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So he's right in his prime, 25.
Yes, he's in the prime of his life, and tonight he's going to have the time of his life.
Sure.
All right, I actually have a Diamondback stack as well.
Oh. Okay, good.
Michael Fulmer, Wellington Castillo, Paul Goldschmidt, Gene Segura, Josh Donaldson, Nick Ahmed, Jose Bautista, Carlos Gonzalez, and Gerardo Parra.
No Yasmani. All right. My DraftKings lineup actually has Parra in it. So Felix and Conley are the pitchers. I think Salvador Perez and Eric Hosmer are so much better plays on DraftKings.
Okay.
They're much cheaper. Then you can play Kipnis, the key to victory, Zach Cozart, Carlos Gonzalez, Gerardo Parra, and Jay Bruce. Don't forget about Jay Bruce.
I will not forget about Jay Bruce.
Future Cleveland Indian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I will give my DraftKings lineup as well. I got Chris Archer, Michael Fulmer, Wellington Castillo, Paul Goldschmidt, Phil Gosselin, who will be in the lineup tonight, Josh Donaldson, Jonathan VR, Jose Bautista, Charlie Blackmon, and Gerardo Parra.
You need to, I mean, that's two lineups without the key to victory. You need to get the key to victory in at least one lineup tonight.
Kipnis?
No. The key to victory.
No, I'm not. I don't know that I'll have him tonight.
All right. Can I leave you guys with a terrible joke that I've been sitting here thinking about in silence for the last 3 minutes?
It won't be different
than
any other joke, so let's hear it.
We'll head into the weekend. Thanks so much for listening. You may never listen again after this joke. What is the Diamondbacks right fielder's favorite Jim Carrey movie? Yes, Yasmani Tomas.